Well, we're going to turn our attention to God's Word. You might like to open up, if you have your King James, you can by all means open up to Colossians 3. We're actually going to be looking around at various parts of the Bible this morning. If you don't have your King James, by all means look up the NIV. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we can direct our attention now to your word, that we have the opportunity to do that. And as it is your great word, your holy word, the word of our God, please help us to give our hearts to it, our minds to it, and please grant us understanding, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're living in an era where there has been great change in our society for all sorts of reasons, and especially for men. And the question is rightly raised, what role does a father have? Who is the father? What is the role of a man in this world? The Family Law Act has tended to, in the past, focus more on the rights of a mother, and as well as that, add to it the increasing tide of feminism and the focus on the woman and affirming the woman's role and her identity. It is a difficult time to be a man. It's a difficult time to be a father. On the flip side, I think we also realise that so much of a child's sense of their identity comes from the acceptance and the love of their father. Well, we're turning today and over the next few weeks to Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. And we've called this Family Month. This is an idea that we've really taken from Leighton and Sarah's experience in Korea, where they celebrate Family Month in May. And it seemed to me like a helpful thing if we took a month out to focus on our family life, our roles as husbands and wives and children and mothers and fathers. And my hope is that we'll make this a regular feature of our year. So we come today, I guess, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, where Paul says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." We're going to focus today on fathers. Next week, it's no surprise, we'll be focusing on mothers. And I want to ask, what place does God have for fathers? What does the Bible say to those of us here today who are fathers, who are men? Now, firstly, how do we as fathers understand ourselves? Well, in the Bible, we understand ourselves through our relationships. Our relationships to our parents, our relationships to our wife, to our children, to our employer, or to our employees, or to our congregation. And when we talk of father, we're saying this is how a man is to understand himself in his relationship to his children. Now, in the Bible, final responsibility for the family is given to fathers. So in 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is famous because that's where Paul, on at least one occasion, lists the qualifications we need to look for if we're choosing an elder or an overseer for the congregation. And among the qualifications, the man to be chosen is to be a man who manages his children, who manages his household. And that is to be a model for us. That, of course, is not excluding the wife, and that's very clear elsewhere in the New Testament and the Old Testament, but the buck stops with the guy, with the father. Fathers have a very important role in God's mind and in God's will and purpose for families in our modern age. So what sort of goals should a father have for his children? Well, going to that passage in 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and verse 12, verse 4 is where he talks about the qualifications of overseers, and in verse 12 he talks about the qualifications of deacons. And I take it as he lists these qualifications, he's not saying, look, you've got to look for these unusual people. He's saying, look for people who are models to others of godly fatherhood, amongst other things. And he says there that the father is to manage his family well, and his children are to obey him with proper respect. So there is one goal that a father have, to raise children who respect him and who obey him with proper respect. In Titus chapter 1, that's the other place where Paul lists qualifications for the leaders of the church. He says that fathers are to raise faithful children. Not wild and disobedient children, but faithful, reliable children. In Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, we find out that God's purpose and plan for the world is that for couples who marry is that they should have godly children, that they should love God and obey him. That's what God wants. That's the sort of children God wants us to have, men. In Genesis chapter 18, we find God discussing with himself over Abraham, and he talks about the children that he wishes to see come from Abraham's descendants, and he wants them to be children, God wants them to be children who keep his way by doing what is just and right. So in short, the goals we have as fathers are that we have respectful children, trustworthy children, children who will obey us and our wives, children who love God, who serve him, children who do what is just and right. So there's some of the goals. I wonder how you're feeling about those. They're fairly challenging, aren't they? So how do we do it? How do we actually raise children to be like this? Well, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and that's one to write down and to go back to, it's one of those classic verses, it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. And so we are men to be trainers, or to use the language that we're more familiar with, we are to be coaches. Now, most of you know of my lack of addiction to football, but in football, as in cricket and other sports, elite teams have coaches. Coaches who work very hard to bring the best out of the team. And we as men in our household are coaches for our children. God has given us a team, if you like, our children. And he wants from our children godliness, a love of God and a love of his word. We are to be coaches. We are to be trainers of our children. Now, of course, coaches don't just, you know, issue instructions at their teams, do they? They get beside each member. They encourage them. They stir them along. They rebuke them when that's necessary, and they build them up at other times when that's necessary. The work of a coach is more than just throwing instructions. It's actually engaging with the team member. And so it is for a father. Now, we are to especially to train them and teach them in God's word, in God's way. Ephesians 5, when it deals with this same issue as Paul is dealing with in Colossians 3, Paul says we are to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, that's you and I. We are to bring our children up to know and love the Lord Jesus. We are to bring them up, more than that, in the way of the Lord Jesus. Now, I suspect that that's an area of weakness for us. We actually feel more at home teaching our children to drive and about cars. We teach our children about bikes and horses, and we teach them carefully about alcohol. We teach them how to relate in social situations. But do we teach them and train them in the Word of God? Are we doing that? Are we doing it as carefully as we do some of those other things? Are we doing it with the same sort of enthusiasm that we do some of those other things? And we are to bring up our children, of course, with proper discipline. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." It's one of those verses that we've taken to heart. It's just become a saying now. It actually comes from the Bible, Proverbs 13, verse 14. "Spare the rod and spoil the child." Now, what's it trying to say? Well, it's saying that if you don't apply discipline to your child, in the end you'll spoil your child. You'll ruin your child. Now, today, many parents seem to me to be eager not to use discipline. We want to be a friend to our child. We want to love our child. We feel a bit insecure about asserting ourselves over our children. I mean, we've got our own faults and problems. We're a bit afraid of doing that. And we see the idea of discipline as just too negative in that kind of environment. But the warning of the scriptures is, if we spare the rod, if we do not apply clear and proper discipline to our children, we will ruin them. Part of the problem we're living with today in our society is we're living in a society that's given up on being parents to their children, on applying discipline to their children. We raise children that have no respect for adults, no boundaries, and who really don't have a proper sense of identity as a child. If you love your child, you'll discipline them. Now, we see that in our Heavenly Father. If we were to go to Hebrews chapter 12, we actually see the way in which God works out his discipline for us, his children. He puts us through sometimes difficult circumstances because of his loving discipline of us. Now, I say loving discipline because if you don't love your child, you won't discipline them. But God loves us, and that's why he puts us sometimes through the difficult times. He loves us because he wants us to grow in holiness, Hebrews tells us. And so he puts us through testing times that we will grow. And so we are to love our children. We are to discipline them. As well as that, another hint on how we raise children from that is found in Deuteronomy 6 and also Deuteronomy 11. where we're told that, the ancient Israelites, let me look it up and I'll get it right. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. He says, impress, talking about the commandments of God, he says, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. What he's saying is, teach your children in all the varied circumstances of life. As you're going through experiences of life, whether it's driving down the road and you see something happening in the traffic, or you see something happening on the side of the road, or you're going down the shops and something happens in the shop, or wherever you may be in life, use that as a place and an opportunity to teach and train your children. And we get more help in this job of raising children, men, from the example of our Heavenly Father. You see, how does our Heavenly Father deal with us as his children? Well, if I can kind of sum up some of the threads of the Bible, he deals with us very gently, doesn't he? He deals with us patiently. Have you ever stopped to think how many times a day God forgives us and keeps blessing us despite what we keep doing? He's a God who deals with us according to our own ability, not according to what we're not able to do. He disciplines us for our good. He teaches us to fear him. He leads us to Christ. And he assures us of his deep and abiding love for us again and again. That's the kind of fathers that we need to be. Now, there are things that we need to take care of. So let me talk about how not to raise kids, how not to raise our kids. And at this point, we actually come to Colossians 3:21. It's taken us a while, but here we are. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. The word there that we've got for embitter means to make resentful, to stir up in your child a deep, abiding anger at you. He's not talking so much here about a one-off experience. Something happens and kid gets frustrated and that blows over. No, he's talking about such treatment by us over time, day in, day out, year in, year out, that it slowly builds up a deep bitterness in our children towards us. A deep resentment at the way we have treated them. Now we say to ourselves, surely not, surely I wouldn't do that. How could we possibly do it? Well, let me run through some of the ways in which I think we can do it. One way, and one, I suppose, fairly obvious way, but one real way, is by being harsh with them. And I mean by being relentlessly harsh with our children. In our discipline of them. To have such a harshness in the way we discipline that our children don't respect us. They're actually terrified of us. If we keep doing that, all we'll build is bitter children. On the other side of the coin, we embitter our children by giving them no discipline. When I was at university a few centuries ago now, as a class in one of my engineering classes, we were all given an assignment to do. And we handed the assignment in and we waited for the results. And we waited and we waited and we waited. Nothing came. So eventually we complain to the lecturers. What's happening? Where are these results? We got our results back the next week. He gave us our marks for our assignments. Every single person in the class got 7 out of 10. Now, what sort of reaction do you think the class had to that? Yes. There was anger. Why? Because we knew that the lecturer didn't take us seriously, didn't take me seriously enough to mark my work and give me comments about what I had done. We were angry that he had not exercised that judgment, if you like, of marking the papers properly. Now, in the same way, if a father gives no discipline to his child, in the end, the child learns that I don't matter to my father. My father doesn't care about me. Another way in which we can embitter our children is by micromanaging them, by not letting them be a child with a child's interests and a child's desire to explore and discover and try things out. I think that's called being a helicopter parent, isn't it? In the lingo of the day. We can micromanage our children. How frustrating. Do you like being micromanaged? Well, you can bet your children don't like it either. But the other alternative is we can also embitter our children by being disengaged and uninterested in them as they go through their lives. Right? We're so busy with our lives that our children learn that, again, they're not important to us and their lives aren't important. We can embitter our children by distorting their self-image as well. We say to our children, "You're a bad boy." Now, what are we saying when we say that? When we say you're a bad boy, we're saying something about their nature. You are by nature bad. Now, I know our doctrine of sin. I understand that. That's fine. But are we really saying that our child is always and inveterately wicked? Is that what we mean? Of course not. But we keep saying you're a bad boy, sending the message, you are by nature bad. Or, what's the other one? You're a stupid child. What does the child learn from that over the years? So Noreen and I, as we began our life in parenting, decided that we would try and avoid that by saying, look, that was a bad thing to do. Right? Focus on that event, not on the nature of the child. That was a rather silly thing to do, without impugning their very nature. Well, there are other ways as well in which we can embitter our children by mocking them, making light of them, making them a joke, by giving them things, fellas, instead of giving them ourselves. We do focus so much on being providers, and sometimes we think that if we just give them terrific toys at Christmas and on their birthdays and we just fill their lives with good things and the latest gizmo that's out on the market, our children will be happy. No. They want you, Dad. They want to know you. You're so special to them. We can embitter them by expecting of them more than they're able to give or to do at their age. Sometimes we expect them to be adults. They're only, sometimes 2, 3 years old. and we're expecting them to be adults. They're kids. And we can embitter our children by not listening to them. Well, all these things erode and destroy our relationship with our children. And that gets to the point where eventually, where it's important, we need to speak to them, but they won't listen. I was going to play you this morning, or tossing up playing for you, the famous Harry Chapin song, "The Cat's in the Cradle." Look it up on YouTube and play it. It's a very powerful song that speaks of a dad who didn't have time for his kids when he was young. And when he grew old, he wanted to see his son. And so he rang him up, said, "Son, I'd like to see you." And the son said, "Sorry, too busy. Nice to talk to you though. See you around." Very powerful. We ruin our relationship to the point where we can't talk when it's important later on in life. The way Paul puts it here is that our children become discouraged. The idea of the word is that they lose heart. A child depends so much on the love and encouragement and the wise and appropriate discipline of their children for their sense of identity and their sense of acceptance. And that is so much the more so for a dad. Fellas, for all their foolishness, our children, and their naughtiness sometimes, our children crave our love. They crave our acceptance. They want our fair and proper discipline. They want our guidance. And they want us as dads. Well, parenting isn't easy. There are lots of minefields and difficulties in parenting. And if you're anything like me, you probably vowed and declared when you first got married or when you first had your children that you would do a better job than your parents had done. And maybe as time has gone on, you've become a bit shocked to realise that you've made perhaps some of the same mistakes as your parents, if not a few others of your own. It's a hard job. And the role of us fathers has never been more difficult. But at the same time, it has never been more important for us to be fathers to our children as they navigate an incredibly complex world, much more complex than the world you grew up in, let alone the generation before you. And if you do nothing else as a father, I want you to do this. Lead your children carefully and diligently to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fathers, God has given you a little church, your wife, your kids. You are the pastor of your little church. It's very easy for us to teach them every worldly pursuit and to encourage them in every passion that they have. It's no good leaving Christian things to the Sunday school or the youth group or the scripture class. No, guys, it's your job. We are the ones responsible for teaching our children to love and follow Jesus. So I want you to be a man, however difficult it is in this age. Be a man. Don't leave it to your wife. Don't vaguely hope that your example is going to be enough. Be a man. Pick up a Bible and start teaching your kids to know and love Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Help us who are fathers to be manly fathers who teach our children to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and to lead them to the joy of heaven and eternal life. There are so many difficulties that we face, both in ourselves and in our society, and it's a tough job. And we struggle with our own weaknesses and failings as men. Father, please help us. Give us your Spirit. Please strengthen us that we might teach our children and be their coach and pastor them, to lead them not only to mature adulthood, but to maturity in Christ Jesus. We pray it for his sake. Amen. Well,